Hallelujah. Again, our scripture reference for this morning is coming from Proverbs chapter 3, verses 1 through 6. And I will read them again for your hearing. My son, do not forget my law, but let your heart keep my commands. There we go. Bless the Lord. For length of days and long life and peace they will add to you. Let not mercy and truth forsake you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart. And so find favor and high esteem in the sight of God and man. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding, but in all your ways acknowledge him and he shall direct your path. For the moments that are still yet before me, I want to talk about building on the right foundation. Hallelujah. Building on the right foundation. A building foundation is a lower portion of the building structure that transfers its gravity loads to the earth. Foundations are generally broken into two categories, shallow foundations and deep foundations. A tall building must have a strong foundation if it is to stand for a long time. To make a foundation, they normally dig a trench in the ground, digging deeper and deeper until they come to subsoil, which is more solid than the topsoil that is used to grow plants and crops. When the trench is deep enough, they fill it with any strong, hard material they can find. Sometimes they pour in concrete into the trench, which they strengthen even more by first putting long, thin, round pieces of steel into the trench. When the concrete dries, the steel acts like the bones in our body to tie the foundation together. We call this reinforced concrete. Once the foundation has been tacked down tightly or dried hard, we can begin to build the building structure. If a building foundation has been built in a shallow manner or with weak substances, the likelihood that the building placed on top of it will be held by the shallow foundation and the smaller or shorter the building being built. When you and I attempt to build the foundation of our lives on our own strength, on our own wisdom, and in our own understanding, it's equivalent to building on shallow and faulty ground. After a while, the weight of life will cause us to shift, bend, and break under the heaviness of its weight, and we will not be able to grow to our fullest potential. But when we learn to let the Word of God be the foundation of our lives and the strength of God's Word be the spiritual concrete on which we stand, not only are we able to withstand the weight and pressures of life, but we are also able to grow and mature into complete vessels that will be used for God's glory. Amen. In our text today, we find Solomon sharing words of wisdom as a parent to one of his sons that God divinely orchestrated for him to pen so that those of us who become sons and daughters of God would be able to apply it to our lives. He gets straight to the matter at hand by opening up the scriptures and telling his sons and us the benefits of keeping the commandments taught to them through God's word and his principles. Amen. Let me say that again for us on this morning. In our text today, in Proverbs 3, verses 1 through 6, we find Solomon sharing words of wisdom as a parent to one of his sons that God divinely orchestrated for him to pen so that those of us who become sons and daughters of God would be able to apply it to our lives. He gets straight to the matter at hand by opening up the scriptures and telling his sons and us the benefits of keeping the commandments taught to them through God's word and principles. And I'm going to get right to my first point, which is in verses 1 and 2. Commitment to God's commands brings forth God's peace. Hallelujah. Commitment to God's commands brings forth God's peace. My son, do not forget my law, but let your heart keep my commandments. He begins by saying, listen, do not forget my law. The laws of God that have been given to you throughout your God in your heart. Now, I got to thinking about that, and I asked God, why would you command us to keep them with our hearts and not our minds? Why our hearts and not our thinking? And Holy Spirit revealed to me that we are not called to use our minds or our thinking, amen, to keep the laws, because our minds will begin to reason against the word of God and lean towards our own understanding. Uh-huh. You and I have the propensity, when we start to think about things in our own natural minds and flesh, we reason against, or we argue in our flesh against what God is saying. And he is telling us, listen, you don't have time to waste reasoning with your thinking. I need you to trust with your heart. Keep the commandments, hallelujah, of God in your heart. Why? Because when you operate with a heart that's submitted towards God out of gratitude, your heart will dictate your movements. Hallelujah. Oftentimes, what we think, if we allow our thoughts to dictate what we do, we will find ourselves outside of the will of God. But he's saying, when you let your heart keep the commandments, you are more likely to actually follow the commandments because your heart is grateful, hallelujah, to what God has done for you. He further goes on to explain in verse 2 that there is a reward for keeping the commands of God. He says, for length of days and long life and peace they will add to you. Hallelujah. Now, this is not to say that we negotiate with God about our ability or capacity to keep his commandments. Uh-uh. We don't, in essence, say, okay, God, I will keep your command as long as you uphold your end of the bargain. Uh-uh. But we, in reverence, keep his commandments, knowing that doing so opens up to us more of what God has in store for us. Hallelujah. He said, list of days and peace. Peace in this text is the word shalom. Hallelujah. Which means wholeness, completeness, faith, and sound in all areas of life. What do you mean? It means that when we keep the commands of God in our hearts, God promised us that he will allow his peace to make us whole. Hallelujah. His peace to make us complete. His peace to make us safe and sound. What? Not just in one area, but in all areas. And everything that you need, and every place that you go, and every relationship that you have, when you keep the commands, when you deny your flesh, when you pick up your cross, when you do what the word says in the Bible, regardless of how you feel, God says, make up days and shalom. Hallelujah. Completeness and wholeness will be yours. But you got to be committed to keep his commands. Meaning you don't waver when you don't like the command. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Meaning you don't pick and choose which command you keep depending on the attitude of the day. It means that the command that you don't waver in producing us because you don't like the people associated to the task. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. It means that you keep the commandments regardless of what you think, because out of gratitude, out of your heart, you realize that God did not have to save us, God did not have to choose us, God did not have to redeem us, but because he loved us, so he did. And because we are grateful, hallelujah, for what he did, we operate in a reciprocal relationship, meaning that we receive his grace, we receive his peace, we receive his love, and we give it back out to others. Keep the command. Hallelujah. Commitment to God's command brings forth God's peace. But he also shows us we are responsible for the productivity of mercy and truth in our lives. Hallelujah. We are responsible for the productivity of mercy and truth in our lives. Let not mercy and truth forsake you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart. And so find favor and high esteem in the sight of God Amen. Mercy in this text is the Greek word elemosone, meaning loving kindness. Truth in this text is the word pistis, which means faith, faithfulness, and commitment. He is literally saying that we have to live in such a way that loving kindness and faithfulness must never leave or abandon our lives, and we are responsible for showing others loving kindness and being faithful to our commitment. That means that once you have received the manifestation of God's faith and mercy in your life, you and I are now responsible to make sure that it stays on us like a cloak, meaning that we don't get to throw off mercy in any particular situation or circumstance because we don't feel like being merciful. But because God has been merciful to us, we have to wear his mercy, manifest his mercy. Hallelujah. We got to wear his truth, wear faithfulness and commitment, and show forth into other people. We don't get to pick and choose. Hallelujah. How we operate in these godly characteristics. Not only does he tell us what characteristics we are responsible for displaying, but he further goes to explain how vital it is to do so. Listen, the duality of binding and writing shows us that superficial kindness or self-seeking kindness or fleeting ways have no place in the life of a child of God. You can't be fleeting. You cannot be selfish. You cannot hold back mercy or faithfulness towards anybody. He says, bind it around your neck, meaning that it should almost suffocate you to the point where you have no other choice but to release it into the lives of others. He says, inscribe it on the tablet of your heart, so that way the enemy, life, or circumstances won't be able to remove it because it is so deeply tattooed into the heart of your life that it can't be moved. Listen, the ultimate goal of following the commandment to bind mercy and truth around our necks and to inscribe them on our hearts is to receive favor from God. Watch. The text says, and then. We always talk about favor from God, but the text says, when you learn how to be merciful and faithful to God and your fellow man, you'll find favor with God. Hallelujah. Amen. When we find favor with God, it's because God knows we can be trusted with these godly attributes we've been given, despite adverse people and circumstances. We got to understand that we have been trusted to be merciful and faithful. Hallelujah. You have been entrusted to show God's mercy. That means that it has been given to you as a divine task to show forth in your life, despite what people say, despite what people do, and despite what people, how you feel about what they've done. You have been commanded, you and I have been commanded, hallelujah, to be faithful, not just when other people are looking, not just when it benefits you, but in all things and always and at all times. Watch, we find favor with man because we operate in God-like character that God uses to draw others to himself. Listen, the point of us finding favor with man is not so man can applaud us. It's not so that they can esteem us highly. It's not so that they can look at us in a particular way. We find favor with man so that God can use us to draw them to him. Hallelujah. Listen, I know some of us feel like, I don't have to be liked by people to be used by God. We say that. we find ourselves without favor from God and disliked by men because we have bound and written ungodly and improper things around us and have allowed negative emotional things to be written on our hearts that cause us to operate outside of God's will for our lives. Now, I know, again, some of us feel like, and I had to be delivered from this too, Brother Q, I don't got to be liked by them for God to use me. But when we feel like that, it means that we don't have a full understanding of the responsibility of being a disciple. Let me say that again. When you feel like you don't have to be liked by people, or they ain't gonna like your demeanor, or they don't have to like how you talk, or they don't have to like how you act, you and I, at that moment, don't fully realize what it means to be a disciple. How can God use you to draw people to Him if you won't be humble enough to talk to them? How can God use you to draw people to Him when you turn your nose down at them? My God, today, how can God use you and I to draw other people to Him when we mistreat them? When we mistreat God's people, we are giving them an improper view of God. Because they don't just see you, they see the God you proclaim to perfect. And if you proclaim to perfect this loving and kind God, why in the world are you so nasty? Why in the world are you so cantankerous? Why in the world are you so division? God is saying, look, you got to find favor with man so I can use you to draw them to me. Hallelujah. We must be willing, as Solomon teaches us in this text. He says, remember all of the commandments. Not just the ones we like to lift up in the Old Testament that keep us feeling superior to others when we don't commit the sins they do. You know how we do. We'll say, well, I don't kill, I don't steal, I don't fornicate, I'm not this, I'm not that. But if you ain't loving your neighbor like you love yourself, you ain't keeping all the commandments. We don't get to pick and choose which commandments we keep. Mm-mm. The Bible says, matter of fact, Jesus says in Matthew 22, when he's teaching the Pharisees and Sadducees, then one of them, Matthew 22, 35 says that one of them, a lawyer, asked him a question, testing him, and saying, teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law? Jesus said to him, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and great commandment, and the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as you love yourself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. What, in essence, what Jesus is saying is these two laws that he has set take precedence over the laws that we like to hold up when Moses put them on the tablet. He's saying those 10 laws, actually those 100 and some laws that they gave, we only recite 10, but there were so many more. All of those Old Testament laws hang on these two main principle laws that I am laying down. You can't withhold them or uphold them and not uphold these. You can't glory in the fact that you don't lie, steal, destroy, and fornicate, but you hate your neighbor. If you hate your neighbor, if you don't trust God with all that is within you, hallelujah, holding up those other commandments means nothing. You gotta keep all the commandments. Hallelujah. You are responsible. You are responsible for keeping mercy and faithfulness at the forefront of the activity of your life. Holy Spirit is responsible for giving it to you. You are responsible for giving it out to everybody else. Uh-huh. We are responsible. My God, today, Solomon teaches us commitment to God's command brings forth God's peace. He teaches us we are responsible for the productivity of mercy and truth in our lives. And lastly, he teaches us
the posture of your heart and the activity of your life will reveal the foundation, hallelujah, you have built. The posture of your heart and the activity of your life, hallelujah, will reveal the foundation you and I have built. He said, trust the Lord. Means to fully rely on him with all your faith. That means I took the full weight of my life and the reliability of the sources, the resources, and the ways of my life all the way in God. That means my thinking. That means my feeling. That means my brain. That means my action. That means my deeds. And all areas of my life is founded on the that God has given me, because I understand, hallelujah, that he has called me into right relationship with him through the cross of Christ. Hallelujah. Lean not me. Do not rest your weight on or try to support yourself on your own understanding. Help us today. He tells us we got to trust in the Lord. With all your heart. So while you're trusting in God, with all your heart, you have to always ask Holy Spirit, help me lean not on my own understanding. Help me lean not into the things that I believe. Help me lean not into the ways that I think. Help me not lean on to what the world says, but help me lean and lay my weight on God and God alone. Hallelujah. It means we can't support ourselves on our own understanding. Uh-huh. Which I believe is why the source we are to use throughout the text is our heart. If you look at this text over and over again, he tells us that the heart is the resource in which we have that we are to operate in. Why? Because the heart is the seat of our gratitude. Because of the relationship we have with God because of the cross of Christ. Listen, God was dealing with me. He said to me, some of our paths, hallelujah, are unclear because we are trusting, acknowledging, and admonishing ourselves instead of God. Some of us don't have no clarity. Some of us don't have no peace. Some of us don't have no direction. Some of us don't have no understanding because we're leaning on faulty foundation, which is our own thinking, instead of leaning on the foundation that is God. So I'll say, okay, God, how can I make this clear? On this morning, God gave me this illustration. And my husband was like, why in the world? She got this cardboard, right? But I was asking God, help me to make this clear about what it looks like and what it means to lean on our own understanding. So this cardboard is representation of our ways and our thinking. Now, if you know anything about cardboard, it's thinking. It has the capacity to hold. Thank you, Holy Spirit. It has the capacity to hold what's been put inside of it, but it doesn't have the capacity to support the weight of anything. Thank you, Holy Spirit. God, in this very moment, God. You wasn't given the power to handle the weight of your life. You are a vessel to carry what He has given you. You got to trust in Him in all your ways. Acknowledge Him in all your ways. Acknowledge Him. And God promises He shall direct your path. Hallelujah. Make sure you're building your life on the right foundation. And that foundation is Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. That foundation is the one who came down 40 and two generations to die on the old rugged cross. Hallelujah. That foundation is the one who took on the sin of mankind and gave us the imputation of His righteousness.